B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Kuf Nun Aleph. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Kuf Nun Omid Beis. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Nun Omid Aleph a number of stages. First, we saw a halacha, lo yisker odom peyalim b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos. Consequent to that, you're not allowed to go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos. You're not allowed to go beyond the tchum, but you're not allowed to go there before the end of Shabbos, in order that as soon as Shabbos is out, you'll be able to cross over to the other side of the Tchum and hire workers. Anything you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you're not allowed to talk about doing. Anything you're not allowed to talk about doing, you're not allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum in preparation for doing. That was the first half of the Mishnah. And then we saw that Avol Machshechu Lishmoyer maybe Peiros Biyodoi, but in order to go and do something that would be allowed to be done on Shabbos, if not for the fact that it's on the other side of the Tchum, you're allowed to talk about doing it, you're allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum in order to be available at the edge of the Tchum immediately when Shabbos is over and cross over to the other side of the Tchum to do that melocha, that work that would have been allowed to be done, for example, to guard your fields, etc. And then we saw the end of the Mishnah. Klal Omar Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul said a rule. What was his rule? Kol shani zakai ba'amirosoi. Anything that I'm allowed to talk about doing on Shabbos. Roshoi yani lachsheich. Olov, I'm also allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum and do it. So let's just recap that again. The first cases in the Mishnah are what you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to speak about hiring workers, and you're not allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum. The next part of the Mishnah, you are allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum. The Mishnah doesn't explicitly tell us about what you're allowed to speak about, but it says you are allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum in order to be available to do something that you would have been allowed to talk about and do on Shabbos. And then we have the rule that says anything I'm allowed to speak about, I'm allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum for. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Let's see the Gemara. Klal Omar Abba Shaul Kol She'ani V'chulu. Iboyeluhu. Abba Shaul Ahai. The rule of Abba Shaul, what was it going on? Could it be, or let's suggest that he's going on the beginning of the Mishnah that says, Ein machshichin ala tchum lisker pealim lahavi peirois. Then if so, the Gemara asks, Hai kol she'ani zakai ba'mirosoi, reshoi ani b'chashichosoi, kol she'eini zakai ba'mirosoi, eini reshoi b'chashichosoi. Instead of Abba Shaul talking about what you are allowed to do, he should have said his rule with the terms of what you're not allowed to do. What did Abba Shaul say? Abba Shaul's rule went, Kol she'ani zakai b'amirosai, anything I'm allowed to say, I'm allowed to go to the edge of the tchum for. Well, the first part of the Mishnah was talking about what you're not allowed to say and what you're not allowed to do. Elo a sefer koi. So it would seem that Abba Shaul is going on the sefer. The sefer says you are allowed to go to the edge of the tchum in order to be shomer, in order to be available to protect, to guard your fields. But the Mishnah does not talk about what you are allowed to say. So the Gemara is asking, Elo aseifa koi, aval machshechu lishmer maybe peiros biyodoi. That's the part of the Mishnah Abba Shaul is commenting on. Hai kol shani zakai b'chashichosoi reshoi ani b'amirosoi miboilei. Instead of saying anything I'm allowed to talk about, I'm allowed to go to the edge of the tchum for, then who's saying about talking? When regarding what you're allowed to talk about, the Mishnah didn't tell us what you're allowed to talk about. In that part of the Mishnah, it just told us that you're allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum in order to be available to guard your fields. So then he should have said, anything you're allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum for, you're also allowed to talk about on Shabbos. Because the Mishnah speaks about going to the edge of the Tchum and does not speak about speaking about going to the edge of the Tchum or speaking about guarding your field. Says the Gemara, Lo'ilam ha-seifa koi. The truth is, as we just said, Abba Shaul is going on the seifa. V'Abba Shaul aha koi. There's something which is an unspoken understanding that Abba Shaul is based on, that everybody agrees with. And this was something that's now going to be said in the name of Shmuel, who was an Amora. But even though it was said in the name of an Amora, it was common knowledge to all the Tanoim. V'abashol ahokoi, de omer of Yehuda Mashmuel, mutter la'odom leimer lechaveri, a person is allowed to say to his friend, shmeir li peiros shebetchumcha, you guard for me my fruits that are in your tchum. V'ani eshmer lecha peiros shebetchumi, and I will guard your fruits that are in my tchum. Every person has his own tchum. Depending on where he started when Shabbos came in, he can go anywhere he wants within the city, and 2,000 amas beyond it in one direction. So different people could have a different tchum. So you're allowed to say to your friend, I'll guard your fruits, because your fruits are within my tchum, and you'll guard my fruits. So you see that you're allowed to talk about guarding fruits. Uka'oma abashol letanakama. And that was a common understanding. Everybody knew that rule. And now Abashol responded to said to the Tanakama that what did the Tanakama say? The Tanakama said that you're allowed to go to the edge of the tchum to guard your fruits, to be able to guard your fruits after Shabbos. So now Abashol says that he's saying to the Tanakama, Miloi Moidis, do you Tanakama not agree with me? De mutter Adam Loimer lechaveroi shmoir li peiros shebetchumcha vani eshmer lecha peiros shebetchumi. Do you not agree with me that that's the fact that you're allowed to say to your friends, guard my fruits for me? Ve'ema, and I will say, Kol shani zakei b'amirosoi reshoi ani lehachshech olav. And to that, Abashol is then adding the rule that it says in our Mishnah, since you all agree with me that you're allowed to say that, therefore you're also allowed to go to the edge of the tchum in order to be able to guard your own fruits on the other side of the tchum when Shabbos is over. So now we understand the Mishnah. The Gemara is now saying, klal la'suyei mai. Whenever we have a rule, then it's coming to include something it didn't yet say in the Mishnah. So the Gemara is asking, this klal of Abashol, la'asuyei mai, what's it coming to include? La'asuyei ha detonu rabbonon. To include what we're going to see in this brisa. Ein machshichin ala tchum lahavi behema. You're not allowed to go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos with the intentions of bringing your behema, your animal, from outside the tchum back into the tchum immediately after Shabbos is over. And Tosfos says that some have the girusa here, machshichin, that you are allowed to do this, because there would be nothing wrong with bringing an animal in on Shabbos. If you can bring it in without going outside the tchum, and we're going to see that later on in the Gemara that regarding going out of the tchum, we actually saw this in the Gemara in the previous daf, that you're allowed to talk about and prepare for doing something after Shabbos, which is outside the tchum, because anything where the whole problem is the tchum, that's an issue that could theoretically have been avoided had there been huts outside the tchum going beyond the tchum. So what should be the problem with bringing in your animal? Tosfos says, according to our version, that you're not allowed to do that, it must be this was an animal that was not capable of walking, and therefore you would have to lift it up. And you're not allowed to lift an animal on Shabbos, they're muktza. Since you're not allowed to lift up the animal, it's muktzah, you're also not allowed to go to the tchum to prepare for doing that after Shabbos. Hoyso'i medes chutz l'tchum, if the animal is standing outside the tchum, koire lo v'hibo, you're allowed to call the animal, and the animal will then hear your voice and come towards you, and we're not concerned that you're going to go outside the tchum on Shabbos, and this is something that was discussed at length on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Klal Omar Abashol, Abashol said his rule, Kol she'ani zakei ba'amirosoi, anything I'm allowed to say that I'm going to do after Shabbos, and I'm allowed to say it on Shabbos, Roshoi ani lach shecholov, I'm also allowed to prepare for doing that by going to the end of the tchum before the end of Shabbos. Umachshichin, and now he's bringing some examples. What are you allowed to go to the edge of the tchum for in order to be able to do them after Shabbos? And also, you're allowed to talk about doing those things. You're allowed to discuss them on Shabbos. Umachshichin lefakeach al iskei kalov al iskei ames. As we've seen in the previous daf, that one is allowed to talk about preparing and doing what a kalah needs to get married, or what a dead person needs in order to do to prepare him for burial. And not, you're allowed to talk about it on Shabbos, and you're allowed to prepare for doing it by going to the edge of the tchum. Lahovi loy oro, in order to bring the coffin, the tachrichin, or the shrouds. Vo'imrim loy, and you're allowed to say, that was what you're allowed to do, you're allowed to go to the edge of the tchum in preparation. But you're allowed to also say to somebody, leich lemokim ployni, go to such and such a place, vimloy matzasa b'mokim ployni, and if you can't find either a coffin or the shrouds in such a place, havemi mokim ployni, bring from a different place, loy matzas b'mono, if you couldn't find it at the cost of one mono, havei b'mosayim, bring it for two mono, and you're allowed to talk about that. And that's what the rule of Abba Shaul included these halachas. And we're actually going to see that in the next Mishnah in a couple of lines from now. And this Mishnah is then just a continuation of Abba Shaul's rule. Rabbi Yehuda argued with Abba Shaul on this detail and just said, you're not allowed to mention the sum, the amount of money. It's not necessary. You can make all the preparations, where to go, what to buy, but don't try and avoid mentioning the sum, the price. One should not mention the value of the sale. Says the Mishnah, Machshichin ala tchum, you're allowed to go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos and wait and be ready for the after Shabbos comes. Lefakeach al iskei kalov al iskei ameis, after Shabbos is over, you're allowed to go past the tchum and continue preparing what a kalov needs to go to the chuppah and what a meis needs, what a deceased person needs in order to be buried. Lehovi loy oroin v'tachrichin, to bring a coffin and shrouds from outside the tchum. Another halacha, says the Mishnah, Nochri shehevi chalilin b'shabbos. If a goy brought chalilin, which is some musical instrument, from outside the tchum on Shabbos, and he brought it explicitly for the Yisrael, and it's clear, everybody knows that it was done exclusively for the Yisrael, Loy yisboid bohen Yisrael, then these musical instruments that were used in order to arouse people to cry during a funeral, then they're not allowed to be used at a hesped during a eulogy at all for a Yisrael. Elim kein bo mimokim koriv, unless they came from a place within the tchum. Another case, says the Gemara, also loy oroin v'chofru loy kever. If a goy, he made a coffin or dug a grave, Yikovir bo Yisrael, then since the goy may not necessarily have done it specially for the Yisrael, one's allowed to use it for a Yisrael. Vim bishvil Yisrael, but if it was done exclusively for a Yisrael, lo yikovir bo Yilomis, then you're never allowed to bury a Yid or use this coffin for a Yid. Says the Gemara, Mai mimokim koriv. We saw in the Mishnah that if a goy brought these chalilim, these musical instruments, for a Yisrael, Yisrael is not allowed to use them unless they came from a mokim koriv. Asks the Gemara, what does it mean, a mokim koriv, a close place? Rav Omar mimokim koriv mamash. Rav says it must be that we have absolute knowledge and definite knowledge that it came from within the tchum. Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel argued and said, Chai shinon shema chutz lechoim alonu. It's enough even if we don't know absolute certainty that it came from outside, from inside the tchum, but as long as there's reason to believe that it could have come from outside the city, but from within the tchum, that's enough. If it's a suffix, we're allowed to rely lekula and use these instruments. And now in the next Gemara here, there's a number of different versions, and in one point there's a fundamental difference in understanding. Rashi brings two explanations. We'll try and read the Gemara and have a clear reading of it. Says the Gemara, Daika masnisin kavosei de Shmuel. It would seem from our Mishnah that one can bring proof to Shmuel that Shmuel said you don't need to know 100% it came from within the tchum. It's enough that it could have come from within the tchum. That means unless you know 100% it didn't come from within the tchum, you're allowed to use them. Diktoni, we learned in our Mishnah, also loy oroin v'chofar loy kever. If the goy, he dug a grave or he made a coffin, yikovir bo Yisrael, you're allowed to bury a Yisrael using either this coffin or this grave. Alma misfeika shari. So you can see, you don't know 100% that he didn't dig it for the Yisrael. You don't know 100% that he didn't make this coffin for the Yisrael, but maybe he didn't make it for Yisrael. Misfeika shari, it's muta. Hochanami misfeika shari. So you have proof to Shmuel that regarding the musical instruments as well, as long as they could have come from within the tchum, it's mutar. Tanya kavosei de Rav. We now have a brisa like Rav. And in this brisa, okay, let's read the brisa. Iru she Yisrael v'nochrim dorim bo. And we've actually seen this brisa already in Daf Kuf Chof Beis. If you have a city where you've got Yisrael living there and Goyim living there, v'hoisa bo merchat hamarchetes b'Shabbos, and there was a bathhouse that was active on Shabbos. Im roiv nochrim, if most of the people in the city are Goyim, le'erev, then as soon as Shabbos is over, when Matzah Shabbos comes, reichetz bo miyad, any Yisrael can go straight into the bathhouse and use the hot water, because the hot water was not heated up for the Yisrael, it was heated up for the majority of the population, which are Goyim. Im roiv Yisrael, if most of the people are Yisrael, yamtin ad kadei sheyichamu chamin, then you have to wait enough time that you could have heated up the water, and after that time you're allowed to go in, but before that time you're not allowed to, because the water that was heated up on Shabbos was heated up for the majority of the population, which were Yisrael. Since it was heated up for Yisrael, you're not allowed to benefit from it. And even though we saw in the Mishnah, and we saw previously, that if a goy does a melacha, brings these musical instruments, the chalolin, the chalilin, especially for a yid, you're not allowed to use them ever. And here you are allowed to use that water after you've waited enough time that you could have heated up the water. So there, Rashi asks the question, and Rashi says that regarding the chalilim, it's very, very explicit that the goy did it for the Yisrael. Regarding the hot water, it's not so clear that it was done exclusively for Yisrael, and therefore the chachamim were more lenient. Let's continue the braisa. Mechza al mechza. If the city was half Yisrael and half goyim, then osur, you're not allowed to use the bathhouse immediately after Shabbos. V'yamtin ad kadei sheyichamu chamin. And here, there's two different ways of learning this. Some say mechza al mechza is like sofik, and you've got a sofik, and it says that you're not allowed to use the water straight away. So some say this is what the Gemara means, that it's a proof to Rav, Tanya Kavasei to Rav, that even though it's a sofik, you have to be machmir. Others say it's not a raya to Rav. Others say that mechza al mechza is like, definitely, is like vadai for Yisrael, because no bathhouse will heat up the water unless it's for most of the population. And since it's half Yisrael, half Goyim, then most of the population definitely includes also Yisrael, and therefore it's a case of Vada Yisrael, and there even Shmuel will agree. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ba'ambati Iktano, if you've got a bathhouse with a small bath in it, Im Yeshba Roshus, if the city has a Roshus, we'll soon see what that is, Reichutz Ba Miyad, then you're allowed to go and use this bathhouse immediately after Shabbos. My Roshus, what is this Roshus? Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav Yitzchok, Braid Rav Yehuda, Im Yesh Bo Odom Choshuv, Sheyesh Li Asor Avodim, if you've got a very prominent and prestigious person who's coming in with 10 maids, with servants, with some slaves, Shemecham Min Lo Yud Kum Kum Min Bevas Achas, that they, each of these 10 servants, they each heat up a whole jug full of, a whole flask full of water simultaneously, which means they can very quickly heat up the water in this bath, then bambati ktana, then muta lirchitz bamiyad, then we assume that this water was heated up for that person, for that prominent person, and who was a goy, and since the water was heated up for a goy, Yisrael is allowed to use it straight after Shabbos. And some say this is the proof to Shmuel, because in this small bath, you don't know 100% that this prominent person was there. It's a sofik. And nonetheless, you're allowed to use it straight away. So you see misofik, you see like Shmuel. And Shmuel says that even if you have just a sofik, you can be mekel, you can use the water straight after Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Osu loy oroin v'chofru loy kever. We saw in the Mishnah that if a goy made a coffin or dug a grave, then Yikover by Yisrael, you're allowed to bury a Yisrael in it, in the coffin and in that grave. Why? Because we don't know if he did it for a Yisrael, and therefore we can be mekel. Asks the Gemara, Amai hochanami yamtin b'kdeisha yasu. Okay, so you don't know 100% one way or another. At least wait after Shabbos for the amount of time it takes to make a coffin or the amount of time it takes to dig this grave, and only then bury Yisrael. It seems in the Mishnah you can bury the Yisrael straight away, as if there's no chance in the world that he did it for Yisrael. Maybe he did do it for Yisrael. It's a sophic. At least wait. Answers the Gemara. Omar Ula, Ba'oimid Ba'astratio, that we're talking about that this grave was dug in a public place in Nastratia, and it's very not common. It's no Yisrael gets buried in a public place, in a public throughway like that, and therefore we take it for granted that he definitely did it for a goy. Asks the Gemara, Tinech Kever, I can understand if you have a grave that's dug in such a place, it was definitely done for Yisrael. Oroin Ma'ikel Amema, what are you going to say about the coffin? The coffin, you don't know, it was definitely done for a goy. Omer Bavou, B'mutel El Kivroi, we're talking about a type of coffin that was laid on that grave that was in the middle of a public throughway. And therefore, we again can assume it was done for a goy. Since we know definitely it was done for a goy, a Yisrael is allowed to use it immediately after Shabbos. Continues the next Mishnah. Oisin kol tzorkei hameis, one's allowed to do on Shabbos any of the needs, whatever it takes to preserve a dead body. Obviously, you can't bury on Shabbos, but we can do whatever we can to preserve the dignity of the body. For example, sochin, one can anoint the body, umadichin oisoi, and one can rinse the body, ubilvad shelo yaziz bo eiver, on condition that you don't move even a single limb of the dead body. One's allowed to pull away the pillows, the cushions, whatever's under him, umatilin oise alachoil, in order that he should fall onto the sand, which is cooler than the warm, the kar, the pillows, the cushions, and the bedding that he's on. And the warmer the body is, the quicker it will decompose, and therefore one's allowed to pull it away from under the mace in order that it should lie on the cool floor, bishvil sheyamtin, in order that the body should not get masriach, should not get foul, and shouldn't get decomposed so quickly. Koishrin es halechi, one's allowed to tie the jaw in order to stop the mouth from opening anymore. Loishe yale, you're not allowed to tie the jaw up to make the mouth close, because that's called moving a limb. Elosha lo yosef, you can tie something round its under its chin, around its head, to make sure that it shouldn't open its mouth anymore. V'chein, a similar halacha, koira shenishbaro, if a beam broke and is hanging down inside a home, soimchin oiso, you're allowed to support it besafsal, with a bench, with a chair, oi baruko is hamito, or with the posts of a bed, which they themselves are not muktza, they're kelim, loishe tale, you're not allowed to raise the beam from its fallen position, that would be called boine, elo shaloi toisif, just to support it, that it should not fall anymore. Says the Gemara, Va'omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Maisa b'talmidoi shel Reb Meir. There was a story, an incident with the Talmidim of Reb Meir, shenichnas achar of Rebbeis HaMerchatz. They followed Reb Meir, they went behind him into the bathhouse. Bikesh le'adiach karka. They wanted to rinse the floor of the bathhouse. Omaloi Reb Meir said to them, Ein madichin. One should not rinse the floor. It was Shabbos. Losuch karka. They used to, back in the days, they used to anoint, they used to put some oils, some pleasant smelling oils onto the floor in order to remove all the other undesirable smells. So they wanted to losuch karka, to anoint, to pour some of the oils on the floor. Omar loy ein sochin. And they told him, you're not allowed to. And we assume at this point, we assume that since the earth itself is, you're not allowed to move it, it's mukta. The ground itself is mukta. And therefore, you're not allowed to oint either. So you see from here, anything you're not allowed to move, you're not allowed to oint. So how are you going to understand our Mishnah? Dead body, you're not allowed to move it. Why are you allowed to anoint it? Says the Gemara, no. The truth is that the problem there was not an issue of moving. That wasn't the issue. The problem was that it's true that in a bathhouse, the floors are typically stone, they're tiled, and therefore there's no problem To wipe them, there's no problem. To anoint them, everything is fine. However, if it was a non-tiled floor, then there might be grooves, and when you're putting oil onto the floor, you'll come to level out the grooves. Ashve gumois, and that's seriously also. So that's what he says. Karaka bekaraka michlefer. Rabbi Meir meant to tell them that the problem was not like we thought, that because you're not allowed to move the earth, you're not allowed to anoint it. No. The problem was that you're going to get confused between the earth that's tiled and earth that's not tiled. And if you're going to get confused, then the next time you're going to try and level out or spray oil onto a floor that's not smooth, and that's going to be asur on Shabbos. Meis bekaraka loy michlef, but you're not going to get confused between a dead body and the floor. And therefore, you're allowed to anoint a dead body. Continues the Gemara. Kol la'asuye mai. The Mishnah started, oyesin kol tzorkei ha'meis. You're allowed to do all the needs of a mace. It would have been enough to say, oyesin tzorkei ha'meis. Kol seems to include something, and it's obviously including something that's not been specified in the Mishnah. What would that be? La'asuye mai. What does it include? Says the Gemara, la'asuye ha'detan rabbonon. There's going to see in a braisa something you're allowed to do for a mace that's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Tetanu Rabbonon mevi'im klei miyakor. Meikar means to cool down. There are certain utensils, certain materials that cool down a body. For example, glass. One's allowed to bring in some glass in order to place onto the dead body to cool it down, because the cooler the body is, the more it will stay in a position that's respectable. Uklei matches, one's allowed to bring metal utensils, umanichen al kresoi, and they put it onto the stomach of the dead person. Kedei sheloi tafuach, so it should not get bloated, it shouldn't swell up. Upoike kines nekovov, one's allowed to block up also the entrances, the holes into the person, which are his, would be his mouth, the back passage, and his nose, anywhere else where the air could come in, kadesh lo tikonis bemaruach, in order that the air should not come in and cause the body to get swollen. Continues the Gemara, v'af Shloima Omar b'chochmosei. Shloima Melech says with his tremendous wisdom, he knew that the stomach of a dead person could get swollen, could swell up, and then burst. And what did he say? He said the pasuk as follows. And the whole Perek Yud Beis of Keheles is telling a person, get your act together and don't wait till it's too late. If you're going to start doing Torah mitzvahs, start as soon as you can. You don't know when it will be too late. And there are two stages when things get too late. One of them is when a person gets old. And that we're going to see later on in the sugya. There's another stage is when a person dies, and then it's too late. Then he has no more opportunities to do Torah mitzvahs. So one of the things that Shlomo HaMelech said is, catch yourself, ad asher lo yiroseik chevel hakesef, before the rope, the silver rope, snaps, v'torutz gulas hazov, and the golden bowl gets shattered, kad al hamabua, v'sishover kad al hamabua, and a pitcher will get broken at the fountain, v'noroitz hagalgal el haboyer, and the wheel which is used at the pit will get smashed. So Shlomo HaMelech is using this moshel to say, catch yourself before it's too late. So, and the Gemara is now going to explain this regarding a person that dies. So let's see that inside. Ad asher lo yiroseik chevel hakesef, which means that you should catch yourself before the silver cord, the silver rope, snaps. What is that? Zu chut hashedra. The spinal cord is white, it's got a silvery type of color. And when a person dies and the brain gets, stops functioning, and then the spinal cord also, it crumbles. Vatorot gulas hazov, and the golden bowl gets shattered. Zu omo. This is talking about the omo, and Rashi says here, what is the omo? Rashi says that it's another word for the word gulas, which means a bowl. A bowl is also called gulois maim. Gulois also means a fountain. And therefore we're saying, like a spring, a mayon, and there's one part of a body where water flows from it, which is the amo, and in, before that dries up, the vatura, vatorutz, gulas hazov, means the amo, which is the organ which acts as a fountain. That's how Rashi in Kehelis explains it. Here Rashi adds mayon shel toilodo, but either way, it's the word gulas is used not only as a bowl, but used as a fountain. It's talking about the omo. The next words in the pasuk, v'sishober kad al hamabua, and the pitcher, before the pitcher gets broken at the fountain, what part of the body is compared to a pitcher that that liquids, beverages are poured into it? Zakeres, this is the stomach. So you see here clearly that v'tishober, that this kad shel mabua, this which is the stomach, gets broken. What's this broken? That's what we said before. It's the stomach. After a person dies, it swells up and then it bursts. The pasuk carries on. V'noroit hagalgal el haboyer, and the wheel that's going to that gets smashed before the pit. What is this? Ze perash. It's talking about excrement. And here also, galgal normally means a wheel. It can also mean golol, which is excrement. Rashi brings a pasuk for that. So Shlomo HaMelech was teaching us that it gets to a point where the stomach is going to burst, and consequent to that is going to be that the excrement is going to come out of that. V'cheinu Omer, and this is backed up by another pasuk. The pasuk says, V'zeirisi peresh al paneichem, I will scatter excrement on your faces. Perish chageichem, the excrement of your festivals. What does that mean? Omer of Huna, v'omri lo Omer of Chono, Rav Choga, elu bnei Adam. These are referring to the people shemanichin divrei Torah. They leave divrei Torah, and the Mefarshim explain the word perish doesn't only mean excrement; it means to separate yourself. You separate yourself from Torah. V'oisin kol yameim kechagim, and all their days are just like festivities, just like festivals, with overindulgence in just like all the taivus and all their physical indulgences and drives. And those people, they, when they die, this pasuk is said to them, that, as we're going to see in a moment, Omer Blevi, Omer of Popi, Omer of Yeshua, La'acha Shloisha Yomim, after 3 days a person dies, Kreisoi Nivkas, his stomach bursts, V'nifeles Le'alponov, and the excrement comes out of the stomach and falls onto his face, V'imeresloi, and the excrement sets to his mouth, Tul mashen osatobi, take back what you've given me. And this is referring exclusively to the people that they were eating, not in order to preserve their bodies to serve Hashem, and not in order to honor Shabbos Yom Tov, just in order because their whole life was one big festival, and all they were doing was eating and drinking their whole lives, then that's what's going to happen to them after they die. Continues the next Mishnah. Ein ma'atzmin es hameis b'Shabbos, one's not allowed to close the eyes, the eyelids of a dead person. That typically one would do it. That's the custom, it's halacha, that one closes the eyes of a dead person. On Shabbos, it's muktzah, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. V'loi b'chol, and even during the week, you're not allowed to do it im yitzias nefesh, whilst the soul is leaving the person. V'amatzim, and somebody who closes the eyes of a person im yitzias hanefesh, whilst he's dying, harizeh shefech domim, he's considered as a murderer. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, ha'ma'atzmo im yitzias hanefesh, if somebody closes the eyes of a person whilst his soul is leaving him, harizeh shefech domim, he's compared to a murderer. He's causing the person to die quicker. Moshel, this is a moshel to a lenero shekovo v'yileches, to a candle that it's almost getting extinguished. Odo maniach etzboi, if a person just puts his finger or leo onto the little bit of the flicker that's still left, miyad kovso, immediately, just putting your finger over it causes it to get fully extinguished. So too, when a person is at that stage, then his soul is almost out, and even touching the body just a little bit will cause the soul to leave altogether, and that is called murder. Says the Gemara Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Horoitzeh sheitz atzmu einov shel meis, if somebody wants the eyes of a dead person to be closed, some say this is a zgula, Nufeach lo yayin b'chomtoi, they blow some wine into his nose. V'noisen shemen ben risse enov, and they put some oil between his eyelashes. V'oichas b'shnei goydle raglov, and holds the two big toes of his feet. V'hein misatzmin me'alein, and the eyelids will close on their own. And Rabbeinu Prachya, one of the Rishonim, says that this is one of the very early sources to reflexology. He says there are gidin, there are some sinews or nerves from the eyelids down to the toes of the foot, and by touching, by holding the big toes of the feet, it causes the eyelids to close. Continues the Gemara Tanya. Reb Shem ben Gamliel Oimir, Tinek ben Yoimoy Chai, even a one-day-old child, Mechal din alovus haShabbos, you Mechal Shabbos in order to make sure he survives and lives. David Melech Yisrael, but even David HaMelech, Mace, after he passes away, Ein Mechal din alovus haShabbos, we're not Mechal haShabbos to do anything for him. And we saw this already earlier on the Flamed Amud Beis. Tinek ben Yoimoy Chai Mechal din alovus haShabbos, a one-day-old baby of Mechal Shabbos. Why? Says the Gemara, Omra Torah, the Torah said, Chilil Olav Shabbos Echod, be mechalal one Shabbos for this child, Kadei Sheishmer Shabbosis Harba, in order that if it survives, it will be able to keep many Shabbosis. David Melech Yisrael Meis, Ein Mechalin Olav, but even David HaMelech, after he passes away, we're not Mechal Shabbos. Why? Kivan Shemes Odom Botel Min HaMitzvos. Once a person passes away, he's no more required to do any mitzvahs. If he would be required to do mitzvahs even though he's dead, for example, one would be able to put tzitzis on him and make sure he doesn't wear kilayim. If that would be true, then even after he dies, we would try and preserve the body as long as possible in order that he can continue doing these mitzvahs. And then maybe we would be Mechal Shabbos for him. But since we're about to bring a source that a dead person is not required to do any mitzvahs, therefore, we're not Mechal Shabbos for him. V'hainu d'om Rabbi Yechanon b'meisim chofshi. Rabbi Yechanon learns out from a pasuk that says b'meisim chofshi, that dead people, they are free from doing the mitzvahs. Kivan shameis odom, as soon as a person dies, na'aseh chofshi min ha-mitzvahs, he's free from all mitzvahs. Says the Braisa b'tanya Reb Shem ben Elozar Oimir, Tinoik ben Yoimoy, a one-day-old child, Ein tzorech l'shomer, you don't need to protect it, min ha-chulda, from the weasel, u'min ha-achborim, and from the mice. Because we'll soon see why, but the animals are scared to come near a live person. Avol oig melech haboshon, but the giant oig melech haboshon, mace, and he's dead, tzorich l'shomri. If you want to make sure, you want to protect it, you have to protect him to make sure, min achuldo min achborim, that the weasel or the mice don't attack him. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk says, umoyra'achem, and your fear. That means that the animals, the fact that the animals will fear you, v'chitchem, and they will dread you, yeh al kol chaya sa'oretz, v'al kol oif ha'shamayim, etc. That's what it says in the Pasuk. But we learn out from here, umoyra'achem is the fear of you, v'chitchem is also, doesn't only mean the dread of you, it means v'chayaschem, when you're alive. When you're alive, umoyra'achem, they will be afraid of you. Yeah, kolzman she'odom chai. All the while the person is alive, emosoi muteles al abriyis. Then all the animals, all the creatures are afraid of the person. Kiven shemis, as soon as the person dies, botlo emosoi, they are no longer afraid to attack him. Omer of Papa, Nikitinon, we have a tradition that Arya abeitrei loy nofil. A lion typically will not attack two people are together. Asks the Gemara of Orka Chozin on the Nofil. We've seen that a lion has attacked even two people. Says the Gemara, who could Rami Bar Abba? The Omer Rami Bar Abba, Ein Chayo Sheiletes Ba'odom. An animal will only ever attack a person, Atche Nidma Loike Behema, only when he appears in the eyes of the animal, this person appears like an animal. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Odom, man, Bikor Bal Yolin, in his glory, he will not rest. Nimshel, when is he going to be controlled? When is animals going to take rule over him? Kebehema is nidmu, only when he appears to them like an animal. So a person that behaves like an animal, a person who Hashem has gone against Hashem's Torah and mitzvahs, and therefore he's acting like an animal, and animals will not be scared of him because he looks like an animal to them. Continues the Gemara. Omer Reb Chanina, Asur Lishon Bebayis Yechidi, one is not allowed to sleep in a house on one's own. V'kol Hayoshon Bebayis Yechidi, if somebody sleeps alone in a house, Oichzei Lilith, then this demon or this bad malach can hurt him. Continues the Gemara. V'tanya Reb Shimon ben Elazar Oimer, Asay Du Tzedaka Ad Shata Moitza, all the while that you can still find poor people, umotzui lecha, and you have money available to give to them, v'oitcha b'yotcha, and you are still in your own control. And Rashi says this means whilst you're alive. You don't know when you're going to die. As soon as you die, then you can't do, you can't get to the poor people, you haven't got money to give them, and you're not in your own control anymore. V'af Shleimar Omar b'chochmosi, Shleimar Melech also said in his wisdom, remember your creator in your youth, before the days of evil, the bad days come. And here even the Rashi says koidim shetomus, but here the pasuk says, on the pasuk the Gemara says elu yemei hazikna, this is when a person gets old. So it's worth remembering your Creator when you're young and you have energy and you can do Torah and mitzvahs. Don't wait till you get very old and things get much harder. And the pasuk continues, "V'higi'u shonim asher toimar," and years are going to come that you're going to say, "Ein li bohem chefet," I have no pleasure in them. And what are these? "Elu yemei Mashiach," these are the days of Mashiach, "she'ein bohen lo yizchus v'loy chayva." Because at that, when after Mashiach comes, you will not be able to give any more tzedakah. There'll be no schus. You won't have the merit of giving tzedakah because everybody's going to be rich. And v'loi choyva, nor will you be. There'll be any punishment because you get punished for having a hard heart, for not giving tzedakah. If nobody's going to need your tzedakah, you won't have to be hard-hearted against anyone. So you won't be punished. You won't be rewarded for giving tzedakah, nor will you be punished for not giving tzedakah. Or Pliga de Shmuel, this seems to argue with what Shmuel said. Shmuel said the only difference between the world today and the times of Mashiach is Elo Shibud Malchus, is only the duress and the torture that we are under from the nations. Bilvad, that's the only difference, that's the only thing that's going to change. But other than that, the world is going to carry on for some time as the world is now. And there's going to be rich people, there's going to be poor people. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, "Kilo yechdal evyoin mikerev haoretz," poor people will not cease from within the land. And obviously, there are different stages. Yemos Hamashiach is going to have different stages, and afterwards, there's going to be more stages. So, in the Gemara elsewhere in Shas discuss this. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, Rebbe Lozor Hakapor Oimir, "Lo'olam yevakish odom rachamim al midah zu." A person should beg Hashem for mercy for this midah, for this fate of poverty, she'im hu loy bo, because if this person isn't poor, bo benoy, then his son might become poor. Vim benoy loy bo, ben benoy bo, and if his son will not be poor, then his grandson will be poor. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk says, "Noso in titein loy," you should give tzedakah, v'lo yir alavavcho, you shouldn't be mean, you shouldn't have a bad heart. Because of this thing, in return for this mitzvah, etc. The word biglal can also mean because of, in return of, and it can also mean a galgal, which is a circle. And in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, they explained galgal. The word biglal can also mean a galgal, a wheel. Is a galgal hu shechozer ba'olam. It goes round one generation. This person is poor. The next generation, if he's not poor, his son will be poor. His grandson will be poor. It goes round. Omer of Yosef. If Yosef says nekatinon, we have a tradition that haytzuv merabonon loy miani. These Tamidei Chachomim, they're called Tzurvim Rabbonon. Tzurv is a lashon of heated. these very passionate Talmidei Chachomim, very passionate in their learning. That's how the Goyim explain what this means. Loi miani, they will not become poor. Asks the Gemara b'Hokach Hazinon de miani. We see there are Talmidei Chachomim who do become poor. Says the Gemara, no. Im isa de miani, even though we see they become poor, adura pisch loi mihader, they never get poor enough that they have to knock on the doors asking for money. They sometimes it's harder to get what they need, they have to manage on less, but they do not need to go from door to door to survive. Reb Chia said to his wife, Ki asi anyo, when a poor man comes to the door, akdimi le rifta, quickly go and give him some bread, ki heichad de lekadmu lebenecha, in order that when your children or grandchildren are going to be poor, other people will quickly come and offer them bread. Omra lei, so she said to him, to Reb Chia, Meilat kolayit lo, are you cursing your children, your grandchildren, that they're going to be poor? Omra lei said to her, no, kro koksiv, it says in the pasuk, ki biglal adover azeh, v'tonu deber b'shmoel, galgal u shechoyzer bo'ilam. We know that there's a galgal, it's a wheel. Now, if we're not poor, our children may be poor. And if our children are not poor, our grandchildren may be poor. And therefore, we have to keep that in mind and act accordingly, that we're compassionate to poor people. Hashem will be compassionate on our descendants if and when they become poor. Continues the Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel, Berebi Oimir. The Pasuk says, Hashem is going to give you the attribute of compassion, and Hashem is going to be compassionate on you, and you'll multiply you. So the Pasuk says, first Hashem is going to give us the attribute of being compassionate, and then when we're compassionate, Hashem will be compassionate to us. If you're compassionate with other people, then merachmin alav min hashemayim, then from shemayim they are compassionate with us. V'chol she'ine merachim ala b'riyos, somebody who chas v'sholem is not compassionate to other people, to other beings, ein merachmin alav min hashemayim, then from shemayim they will not be compassionate to him. Continues the Gemara. And here we're going back to Shlomo HaMelech. We mentioned that Shlomo HaMelech was trying to impress on us, wake up early when you're young and bright and energetic. Don't wait till it's too late. So the Pasuk says, Ad asheloi techshach ha-shemesh v'ho'ir, catch yourself before the light and the sun set. What is that? Zu padachas v'achotem, it's the forehead and the nose, which typically in a young, vigorous person, the forehead is more outstanding than the rest of his face. The chotem and nose also it stands out, and one can recognize a person through his nose. V'hayoreach v'akoychovim, and before the moon and the stars, they set, before they go out. What is that? V'ayoreach zu haneshama, before the neshama leaves you. V'akoychovim elu halososois, the person's cheeks are like stars. Maybe because he's surrounded with a beard, and just a little bit of his cheeks, where there's no hair there, are shining like stars. And this is when a person is young, and the younger he is, the more they shine. When he gets older, they get wrinkled, they shine less. When a person dies, then they don't shine at all. And the Pasuk continues, V'shavu he'ovim achar hagoshem. When a person gets old, then it's compared to the clouds that are coming back after the rain. What does that mean? When a person gets old, then because he's weak and he has lots of troubles and challenges, he cries more. And crying, then when he cries, it affects his eyesight. And after the tears, the clouds are covering over his eyes and his eyesight gets affected. So Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, catch yourself before you get old, and all these things happen. And now that we've mentioned the effects of the negative effects of crying, the poor person that cries, it causes him that his eyesight gets affected. Omer Shmuel, hide him also these tears. Adar boim shnin, the first 40 years of a person's life. Hodra, the fluids that he lost when he was crying, the body refills them. The fluids return. Mikan ve'elech, after 40 years old, loy hodra. After that, the tears that he sheds are fluids that do not return. V'omer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, "Hai kuchla," which is a type of ointment, a type of a dye, which they would put onto the eyes. Adar boin shnin, for the first 40 years, marvach, it actually improves the eyesight. Mikan ve'elach, after 40 years, afilim malya, even if you have as much of this dye, this kuchla, that can fill, even malya is enough to fill, ka'abisna de girdoi, like a very wide and thick beam of the weavers, oy kmua moikim, it helps to preserve the eyesight, arvucha loy marvach, but it will not improve the eyesight. My kumash malon, what's he coming to teach us? De kamo de alim mikuchlo tvei mali. You see from here that the thicker that you apply the dabber is this tool that was used to dipped into this kuchla, and then they would apply this potion onto the eyes. So the dabble that they would use, this dabber is called a kuchla. The wider, the thicker this kuchla, tvei mal, the better, because then even more of this kuchla will be applied, and then earlier on in life it will improve one's eyesight, later on it will preserve the eyesight. Continues the Gemara, Reb Chanina, shchivo le brate. Reb Chanina, his daughter passed away, lehava kabochi alon, he was not crying for her. Omro le debisu, his wife asked him, Tarnagolta afikas mebeischa? What, is it just a chicken that's left your house? You lost your daughter. Omar lo, he said to her, you're right, and I feel like crying, and inside I'm crying, but I'm not shedding tears. Tarati, do you want me to have a double loss? Also tichle, also the loss of losing a child. Ve'ivran, also blindness. Sovar lo, ki hodo omar b'yechanon mishum b'yesi bar katzarto. Sheish Tmois, hey, now 6 different types of tears. Sholish Yofois, 3 of them are good. Vesholish Rois, and 3 of them are bad. Shel Oshon, the tears that come after being exposed to smoke. Vashel Bechi, or from crying out of mourning and sorrow. Vashel Beis Hakisei, or from the stomach pains, from the difficulty of passing one's bowels. Those are Rois, those are tears that are bad for a person. Shel Sam, but the tears that come from the medicine, v'shel schoik, or from laughter, v'shel peiros, or from different produce, Rashi brings chardal, mustard, we probably onions that we all know causes a person to cry. Yofos, those are tears that are good for a person. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue with some more psukim of Shleima HaMelech.